So we have two clients here from the Teen Challenge Center in King City. And I've forgotten which one of you had decided you would speak first. So Allie is going to speak first and share her truth testimony. And give her a big welcome.
I just want to say that it takes tremendous courage to walk through the doors of Teen Challenge. I've been at Teen Challenge for 9 months now, and it's with God's strength that I get through every day. And so I'll just share my testimony here. Can you hear me all right? Yeah? Okay, perfect. I was born on a day known as International Women's Day. I have one half brother who I share a beautiful mother with, but we have different fathers. My biological father left my mother when she was pregnant with me. He is American and chose not to live in Canada. 2 days after my actual birth, I was adopted by my mother's high school sweetheart, who was there for her for my birth. After some time, the relationship between my parents deteriorated, and as they bounced from one relationship to another, I bounced from home to home. I found little to no attachment to anyone or anything because of this. When later my dad remarried, the most traumatic era of my life began. This woman was my dad's third wife. She was an alcoholic. She was abusive, angry, and reckless. She didn't care about my father, me, or even her own daughter. For years, there was constant arguing, and there were times things would get so violent we would have to leave the home to go somewhere safe. Many times I would tell my mother that I did not want to go to my dad's, but I was made to, and things proceeded to get worse. Eventually, the abuse was turned towards me, and I would often hide to remain out of sight. I spent most nights tucked away with a blanket in a closet. I had no ability or reason to trust the people that I should have been able to trust, as they were not trustworthy. I see now that the silent tears I cried on all those occasions were heard by God. Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." I know God has never forsaken me. Never will he forsake me. He was my protector and has been faithful to me. My stepmother acted in a very violent and dangerous way towards me that involved a weapon. She threatened my life. It is only thanks to my Heavenly Father that I stand here today. I know that without any doubt. During my teen years, my brother had to leave her home. I had started to feel the shame of my family in certain situations. My brother had by this time already started down a wrong path and spent time in prison. I was embarrassed by that. Despite my home life, I engaged in sports and focused on my academics, which I thrived in. I'd become good at pretending and normalizing the things I was going through. By the time I turned 16, I had been presented the opportunity for a scholarship in track and field and was offered a seat in the World Junior Championships. However, fear held me back. I doubted my own ability and had no support from my family to encourage my decision, so I turned it down. Instead, I began to party with my peers. The first time I got intoxicated, I loved how I felt. I did not feel the weight of the world on my shoulders any longer. However, along with that, I became arrogant quickly, promiscuous, and obnoxious. A couple years later, when I had a tear in my ACL, I was prescribed pain medication for the first time. The downward spiral had already begun. A boyfriend introduced me to harder drugs, and we started living together. At the same time, I was juggling a multitude of things. I thought that ending the relationship would be the answer. It wasn't, and now I had been kicked out of my kinesiology program, so I decided to complete a sports psychology degree, and I was accepted into a master's curriculum. However, I dropped out of my master's for another unhealthy relationship. Through all of that, I took up social work, and I'm actually only a semester away from completing my second degree. I was diagnosed with having complex post-traumatic stress and did try group therapy and other types, but getting involved in another romantic relationship led me astray. No matter where I went or who I was socializing with, it seemed chaos found me. I actually think I preferred chaos over peace. I was just so used to it. Until my mental health got so bad, I began to make plans to end my own life. I was getting worse physically and medically too. Pancreatitis, medical detoxes, hypertension, diabetes, depression, and more drinking and drugging. I was living at my mother's, but had begun to isolate from my friends and my family. Looking in the mirror, I didn't recognize myself any longer. I couldn't take it anymore. I fell to my knees and I cried out to the Lord. I prayed for help because I exhausted all my other helplines. I was desperate and I was killing myself slowly and painfully. I have a psychiatrist who thankfully told me about Teen Challenge. I was hesitant, as I've done other programs before, but I decided that I would give it a shot. So I entered Teen Challenge on July 30th, 2024. Since being at Teen Challenge, I actually haven't given drugs or alcohol much thought. I'm working on some of the root issues, like Shirley has said, and that have caused me to numb out with substances in the past. I want to move forward and be free from my trauma, not held captive by it any longer. Teen Challenge not only is renewing my mind, my physical self is seeing improvements as well. My blood sugar and blood pressure have improved dramatically. When I look in the mirror today, I can smile at myself. I may not know who I am yet, but I definitely know whose I am. I am a child of God, and He loves me unconditionally. Thank you.
Thank you, Ollie. I gotta lower the mic because I'm not as tall. good morning, everyone. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. My name is Kiri. And yes, Holy Spirit, thank you for being here with us today as well. My whole life, I fought to grasp what was reality. I've just always been someone who deeply desired to know truth. My parents separated when I was 3 months old, so almost automatically I felt tensions between two very different worlds. My mom was a free spirit, and then my dad was about the pursuit of excellence. When I was 10, my dad had revealed that he had also been having an affair on my stepmom. And that brought a lot of sadness and anger into the house. But ultimately, it resulted in my dad coming to Christ. So I started to feel the love of Jesus myself. Yet I couldn't help but feel like this sudden shift to Christianity was imposed on me. So once leaving home, it became my mission to just leave all the confusion behind and for me to know truth. I then searched relentlessly through New Age spirituality, through other religions, drowning myself in self-help. And I actually was inevitably moving further and further away from truth because this self-help was not help from God. Hosea chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them." Beyond finding purpose, I desperately wanted to be loved. I searched and did everything in the name of love, but for human, fallible love filled with dysfunction and manipulation and abuse. The relationships were intense, so I medicated these extreme waves of emotion with alcohol, cocaine, and cigarettes. Substances became my antidote to pain. When that didn't suffice, I moved across the country from one city to the next. Looking back now, I recognize the many times Holy Spirit was trying to get my attention, but I ignored him. Then I met a woman who positioned herself to be godly. This woman shared aspects of what I knew to be true about my life and my circumstances. She confirmed my feeling lost and unloved and unsuccessful in ways that felt very intuitive and specific and personal to me. She directed me back to Christ. She led me through Bible studies, through worship music, through sobriety. And then she convinced me that she was the only person other than God who truly loved me. So I started to trust her. And then this relationship grew and eventually began to become shrouded in darkness and cult-like practices. I didn't know yet, but her version of spirituality was actually completely out of sync with truth. Eventually, she frauded me out of an exorbitant amount of money. She racked up all my credit. She had me lie to friends and family for more money, all for the purpose of realigning myself to God's purpose for me. Everything was camouflaged into something good, the ends to justify the means. And then further manipulation led me down the deception of healing men, and I ended up becoming a victim of sex trafficking. For 9 months, I was isolated and abused as part of this training for the new role I was supposed to take on. Beyond the physical, it was the battle within my mind that became, pardon me, so excruciating. But then God. One day, I received an email from this film producer journalist talking about a new project. And being that I worked in the arts, I was excited, thinking that this was a job opportunity. So we met, and she began telling me about her friend, and then her friend's story unraveled like an exact playbook of what I was going through with that spiritual woman. Turns out I was one in a line of women victims. This woman, that godly woman, was actually in the middle of a 7-year federal criminal case for money laundering, embezzlement, and sex trafficking. She had pled guilty and was awaiting sentencing, all the while still running her game on me. God made a way for me to get out through that journalist. I was soon interviewed by the FBI, and my testimony assisted in putting that woman behind bars for 10 years. Then I met a man whom I deeply cared for. He felt safe. He was emotionally aware. He was God-centered, and it felt like he supported me through that whole messy aftermath with that spiritual woman. But then that relationship started to mirror a lot of the same abuses as with that woman. I would feel loved and special, and then, like a flip of a switch, I'd be incessantly accused and blamed and belittled and devalued. And then physical abuse began. So I started to explode in anger, fight back to defend myself, because not only was I deeply hurt, I was just so utterly confused. Back I reached for my medicine, the use of substances again, every day, every hour. But then God. At this point, my only form of communication was email. My ex had just been arrested for a second time for domestic violence when I received a message from my dad expressing his desires for me to come home. And finally, I listened, or at least I tried to, but I didn't have access to my passports. God divinely connected my dad back to those same FBI agents, and that same night they helped me fly across the U.S. with no ID. I still had no way of getting across the border into Canada, though. They had no jurisdiction there, the FBI. So my dad picked me up in Buffalo, and with only a printed picture of my Canadian passport, we attempted to cross the border. We briefly explained my situation, and with almost no questioning, I was let across. Wow. Yeah. Despite what has proved to be the storm, I am incredibly blessed to have parents who loved me deeply and who, because of their strong faith, were able to suggest Teen Challenge. And on November 25th, 2024, I walked through the doors of Teen Challenge. So now I am 5 months clean and sober. Thank you. This opportunity has ignited a reunion with God on like a whole new deeper level, and now my relationship with Jesus is deepening, and he has faithfully and undeniably made himself real to me. Being at Teen Challenge, Holy Spirit has revealed some foundational truths to me. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Holy Spirit has also revealed this to me. Spiritual warfare is real. That is reality. Please hear me when I say this, that the enemy wants to deceive, and sometimes it will be hidden in half-truths or people that seem well-intentioned. This is why it is so important that we keep close to God by knowing his living word, which is the truth. This is the truth divinely laid out for us to know what is real and what is false. Moving forward at Teen Challenge, I hope to soak up as much of God's word as possible. I pray that I go ever deeper in my levels of surrender and trust and obedience to him. I hope that includes my passions for music writing and travel in the future, but I leave that up to God to lead, because no matter what, it is no longer I but Christ who lives in me, and I now live to serve him with love, for he deserves all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Hosea 2, verse 13, therefore I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you with righteousness and justice, with love and compassion. Thank you.
So, two amazing stories, right? Okay, so different and yet so similar. You can understand the difficulty they would have had in making the choice to go to Teen Challenge. Why am I here? I'm not a client, nor have I ever been a client at Teen Challenge. But I am an outreach team leader, and I've done that for close to 3 years now. I've been kind of the Teen Challenge groupie since 2011 when my daughter entered those doors the first time. I was a young woman who, to escape an abusive childhood at home, married 6 days after my 18th birthday and found that I had married a man just like my dad. I had three wonderful children, two boys and a girl, but at the age of 29, I was on my own raising those children alone. Had God been in our home, our lives would have been so much different. I was raised in the church, but that example did not go past our front door. Hypocrisy, judgment, physical, verbal abuse. Those were the things I remembered from my childhood. And those, of course, are considered trauma in a child's lives. I was so naive. I tried marijuana in high school, but that was it. I didn't like it. I tried to drink. I didn't like it. And so drugs had never touched my life. But strangely, each of my children suffered the cycle of addiction. It was a major challenge for my daughter, Trisha, my baby girl, who I've mentioned before. Oh my, one, two. Okay, well. Clearly, I was half asleep when I stapled this together this morning. Okay, so every one of my three kids, my boys later on in life, they were prescribed opiates, oxycodone, for work-related workplace injuries, and they learned quickly how to get the best feeling out of that particular substance. My daughter, at the age of 18, started behaving in a way I didn't recognize. Paranoia, delusions, absence from her two-year-old son, lying, theft. I didn't know what was happening. It took me a while to clue in that drugs had begun. She made countless heartbreaking attempts over the years to get clean, but each time ended in relapse and despair, and the shame just caused more drug use. She was killing herself before my very eyes. Extreme weight loss, skin lesions, track marks, seizures, convulsions, multiple overdoses. Thank God for Narcan, because that brought her back more than a few times. Every night, I was afraid I'd get that final phone call. I would jolt awake in terror, thinking, this is the night. I drove myself crazy with questions that had no answers. How did this happen? What did I do wrong? What could I or should I have done or done differently? And these are the questions that consume the parents of an addicted child. And these are the questions that haunt the parents when that addicted child dies. People didn't understand my devotion. My friends and even family began falling away. They said, don't enable. She's got to hit rock bottom. But what if rock bottom meant death? Seriously, put yourself in a parent's shoes and ask yourself that question. What if rock bottom is death, as it is for so many? I couldn't do that. I couldn't walk away. I had never been a drinker, but I began drinking and my drinking escalated. For years, I handled it well. I was a functional alcoholic until I wasn't. I made choices that boggle my mind. I damaged my health. I was charged with impaired driving, lost my right to drive, lost my job, was escorted by a polite hand on my elbow right out of my workplace, not once, but twice. One night, February 3rd, 2019, my daughter had entered the doors of Teen Challenge, and I knew that if she graduated Teen Challenge and I was drinking, it would only be a matter of time before alcohol became her next choice, and that we had drinks together, that she made bad choices, and the whole cycle would start again. I knew I couldn't be drinking in the case that she graduated. On February 3rd, 2019, knowing her graduation would be coming up in June, I prayed that that would happen. I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I said, I need help. I can't do this alone anymore. I need you, Lord. Please take this curse from me and make yourself felt in my heart. And I had my last drink that day. I never suffered any withdrawal symptoms. I've never had any cravings. I was truly a miracle. My recovery was a miracle. I don't doubt that for a second. But even more miraculous, God had been using my daughter's journey of transformation. He'd been using that journey all along to reveal himself to me. I know that now. And he used her journey to reveal himself to her brothers, her son, me. My daughter graduated Teen Challenge almost 7 years ago. Today, she's healthy. She's happy. She earned herself a diploma in or certification in mental health and addiction. She worked jobs in the field, and finally came back to Teen Challenge, where she's working full-time. She's personally become the woman I had glimpses of between relapses. She's the daughter I dreamed of, the daughter I thought was lost forever, the baby closest to my heart. She is the devoted and loving mother to her son that he deserved and she so desperately wanted to be. She's getting a do-over with his son, a little boy who's now 4 years old, that lives with her and her son, and the three of them are a family. And she's getting this opportunity to be a shining example for her son and his little boy, who's being raised in the Lord's word. Without the Teen Challenge mission, I have no doubt that it would be so much different. See, God used Teen Challenge as an instrument to bring my family to Christ. I have no doubt that I would have spiraled deeper into my own addiction and that my daughter today would be dead. And perhaps my boys. No doubt in my mind that God used Teen Challenge to make this difference, this blessing in our lives. Our family is blessed every day since the day Teen Challenge entered our lives. So why am I doing this? Why am I out on a Sunday, so many Sundays, telling this story? Because it works. Because Christ works through Teen Challenge. Without God, addiction can sometimes be overcome. But 76% of our graduates go on to lead lives free of substance abuse and freedom in Christ. Our ministry exists because of prayer. And in that prayer is often a calling to become part of our journey. And we have a little video on how to join our journey.
Addiction doesn't just happen. The journey to addiction many times begins with tremendous personal hurt, pain, trauma, and despair. And so finding freedom from addiction doesn't just happen either. The journey to recovery begins with loving individuals, daily walking with men and women, helping them to face their past generational wounds, their inabilities to cope, or lack of personal identity, so they can start the transformation into the person they were intended to be. Now, this journey of recovery would not be possible if it weren't for the incredible faithfulness and generosity from supporters like you. At Teen Challenge, ongoing partnerships are much more than the financial backbone of our ministry. They are a testimony to all those still in addiction that even in the midst of their brokenness, they can know they are worth investing in. By joining the journey and becoming part of our incredible community of monthly supporters, composed of passionate, generous, driven people like yourself, you are not only helping someone on their personal road to recovery, you are becoming a key part of their victory story. Your financial support shows those in our program that you believe there's still hope. It is not too late for help, and you are willing to invest in them to help them find it. For any reoccurring monthly or annual amount, join the journey. And your support of our 12-month faith-based in-residence program proves to those in our care that past life choices do not have to dictate the future. And that life, purposeful, productive life after addiction is possible. Support Teen Challenge Canada and join the journey today. Visit teenchallenge.ca.
You've seen. We are entirely privately funded by people and organizations like this, like your church. We don't receive any government funding because we're faith-based, and we're not going to compromise that because we know that Christ is everything. And so I hope that our time with you today has been enlightening. And again, thank you so much for helping us to spread awareness, because you can and you do. You truly make a difference. The ladies and I would love to walk you through the process of becoming a member of our journey, or to help you with a one-time donation. I pray that you will leave today with some of our information and know of someone you might be able to share that with. Because, you know, years ago, I see the change in me, okay, because A, I've forgiven my father, okay? I believe he's with the Lord. I've put away my past mistakes because I know I'm forgiven. And I can talk about what would have once been so shameful. I would have gone to such great lengths to conceal the person I was. But now, sharing our stories might lead one person to this amazing journey that we're now on. God completely healed my mind, my body, my spirit. Every day can have a new beginning. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day." Come on, you know it. Absolutely. And there's a theologian, Robert Sproul Jr. He wrote these words that really touched me. They continue to touch me. He said, "We must remember that the beauty of the day is not that it is new, but that we are being made new. That the glory of the day is not that it marks a change, but that we are being changed." And in Mark 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "For all things are possible with God." So doing these outreaches helps me know that I am helping God do the impossible with you. So afterwards, please feel free to have a chat. And thank you so much for your time.